Hey, Kyle, you know what we haven't talked about in a while?
What's that, Emily?
We haven't even talked about our Patreon.
God, I don't even remember what that is.
Oh, well, you see, it's this really cool thing where people can choose to donate however much they feel comfortable per month, and it supports the production of our podcast.
Oh my God, like, what does it pay for?
It pays for, like, transcripts, and it pays for hosting, and it pays for all the things that we need to make this podcast great. But you know what it doesn't pay for?
What's
it doesn't
that?
Pay for us, because we don't want your money. We just want the money to make the podcast better.
So what you're saying is if these lovely audience members give to the podcast, it will be better.
Exactly. And we won't take a dime. We're just in it to make it better.
Go find us at patreon.com/theaccessiblestall.
And we'll love you forever and ever and ever. Thank you.
Bye.
And I'm a little out of breath because Kyle just made me hold my breath.
What are we going to talk about today, Emily?
And oh, wait, this is the accessible stall.
All right, we both said that. What are we going to talk about?
Elevators.
Why?
Because what goes up must come down.
Okay.
Except for if you're in New York City, sometimes you don't go up, sometimes you don't go down, and sometimes you're down and you can't get up, and sometimes you're up and you can't get down. It's terrible. I hate New York City.
Elevators in New York City are a joke. So, why are we talking about it?
Yeah, I was going to say, in case you're wondering why we're complaining about elevators, there was recently two dual class action lawsuits filed against the New York City subway system for their discrimination against wheelchair users. So this raises several interesting things, which I would like to talk about as, one, a native New Yorker, and two, a wheelchair user, and three, someone who loathes the subway system.
Before we do that and get down into the nitty-gritty, I really have a story. I would love to share with you a story that I think you and the audience will appreciate that is semi-related in that it's related to transportation, but not at all related in any other way.
Do go on.
Please indulge me, if you don't mind. I was coming home from work today. And the bus stop I normally take from work is constantly moving due to construction. I just didn't want to deal with finding the bus stop that has been in the same place for the last 100 years. So I took a cab. Green cab, New York City. Cab, like license. Not Uber, not Lyft, not Juno, not nothing. Just a regular old green cab. So I get in the cab, tell the guy my address. He goes 2 blocks away from my address. And he says, "All right." And I'm thinking he's talking to his friend on the phone, because, you know, cabbies talk on the phone. And then he's, like, still stalling, and I realize he wants me to get out of the cab. So I say to him, this isn't where I said. So he repeats my address back to me. And I said, "Yeah, you're not there. Does this look like a house? Like, this is an intersection." And so he goes, "Ugh." So then I just instruct him on the cross street, and he doesn't take me there. He takes me to half the cross street, not the other half. And then I tell him that, and he goes, "Ugh," and he repeats my address back to me again. So this is the second time, and I know that there's no way he misheard me, because he repeated my address back to me twice. So then he takes me back to the original spot, and I tell him to just keep going. And the way it goes is it goes 26, 27, 28, but he was insisting it goes 26, 27, 26. I swear to God. So I tell him, I'm like, "Dude, just keep going." And he goes, "No, it's going to be 26 again. I'm like, "We're on 26. It's not going to change back to 26. You're going in a whole different direction." And he was arguing with me. And I'm like, "Dude, just humor me and just drive straight." So he does. And of course, it goes to 28 because that's how numbers work. And then he tells me, "All right." But at this time, I realized from before that this tone of voice meant get out of my cab. He didn't turn down my block. So I'm like, "Does this look like my house to you? Please turn down this intersection." And then he goes, "Ugh." And I was like, "You know what? You." And I got out of the cab.
Did you actually say that?
Yeah, and I didn't tip him either. He can go f*** himself. Like, are you, like... Anyway, elevators.
You know what? This points to a larger problem with New York City transportation, which is that it's all terrible and I hate it.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's really, really bad.
Yeah. So, but specifically, we are talking about subways today because the two class action lawsuits are challenging the fact that over 350 of New York City subway stations are completely unusable by people who cannot climb a set of stairs.
That's so, slightly over 75%.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. And then the other suit, which I happen to be a much bigger proponent of, is accusing Metropolitan Transit Authority of not taking good care of the elevators that actually exist.
Yeah, that's, I'm a bigger fan of that one as well.
But I think it's worth talking about both because, sure, it seems like a straightforward lawsuit, but I think that in a city like New York, it's just kind of a loaded concept to initiate lawsuits about something as big as their infrastructure.
Well, you know, their infrastructure is a big, sad joke. If anyone knows, listening, knows anything about it, you know not to, like, think about it. Otherwise, you'll never get on the train again. It's true. The infrastructure in New York City subway, like, the oldest one is still 50, over 50. And it's like, I don't know, like, you wouldn't use anything
the
in your house.
The subway system itself is about 150 years old.
It's 110, something like that. But, like, the oldest system still in use is just over 50. And it's like, unless it's your house itself, if anything in your house was 50 years old, it probably doesn't work anymore, you know?
So my house is over 50 years old.
Yeah, there you go. I think mine is too, actually. All right, but you know what I mean? Houses, look, man, houses don't move, all right?
They my stay house put. Works okay, I think.
But yeah, so which one do you want to talk about first?
You know, actually, a house is a good analogy insofar as if you don't take care of the house as time passes, the house will no longer be a functional house.
Replace house with subway system, and you'll see Emily's point. So yeah, which one do you want to talk about first today?
The larger of the two lawsuits, the one that's taking on the entire subway system and all of its inaccessible glory.
I'm all for that in spirit, but the practical version of me, good luck. That's what I have to say about that.
My thinking is from a completely practical standpoint, how would that even be possible in anyone's lifetime without seriously screwing up transportation to the point of, like,
yeah,
riots in the street.
And you know, like, if they were to do that, they're gonna find other problems that they're gonna just want to fix. I think the estimates say that to renovate 25 of them, like the 25 next most popular, is $1 billion, and to do the rest, it'll be $4 billion. And it's like, that's a lot of money. That's a sizable chunk of the MTA's whole budget. In fact, it might even, I don't know, but it's,
you know,
it's gonna,
I don't care about the MTA's budget because the MTA just likes to take your money and laugh at you. So you know, I have no sympathy for the MTA.
I do a little bit because we say that as New Yorkers because we don't live in a city where you're charged the distance you go like you should be. Instead, we pay a flat fee. Everyone who says anything about how expensive the subway is has never been outside of New York City.
No, it's not that I think the subway is expensive per se, but I think that on the whole, we pay for crap.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I get $2.75 worth of service every time. That I agree with. That is true. But I mean, my point is if we paid more, we might, you know, maybe.
But all of my endless stream of complaints about the MTA aside, the big thing that I keep thinking about is, as much as I love the idea that New York City is being sued for something that is utterly ridiculous, like not having an entire transportation system be accessible.
Or at least the vast majority of it. Yeah, like at least if you were 51%, we'd be complaining a lot less. But you're not even close to adequate. Like, it's pathetic.
Yeah, so it's ridiculous. But this is one of those things where I'm trying to reconcile my extremely strong belief in access with how all of this would go down in an effective and timely manner. And I just don't foresee it. Granted, I do not have a PhD in city planning over here, but I'm pretty sure that you don't need that to see this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think even if you had the exactly the amount of money that you would need expendable upon request, the amount of, I don't think there's a way to do it timely. Even if money were no object, there's no way to do it without wrecking the system for most other people.
I could see is they would do one elevator at a time. So by the time they were done, we'd all be not only dead, but like decomposed.
And then, yeah, but then, and it's like, you know, what if they do that and your elevator is last, right? Like, I mean, what's the triage there? That's probably something actually pretty easy to figure out. You probably go
by
population.
That's like a silly complaint. Like, if they initiate it, I know what you mean, though. Everyone's going to be like, why not my stop?
Yeah, well, that's the point. Like, it's fine. Yes, it has to happen, but if you're the person that lives near one that is going to be renovated and it isn't till like 2085, of course you're going to complain about that, too.
But also, the renovation puts a wrench not only in your travel plans, disability or not, but everyone else's too.
Exactly. And that's why it's very, I mean, it's probably infeasible. I don't know. Maybe if someone who has like a PhD in civil engineering could educate us, but probably not. But
and you the know other what? Thing oh, too sorry, is, are the subway stations, is it even safe? Do they even have room to carve out an elevator shaft? You know, like, I'm thinking about some of the subway stations that I'm just wondering, I mean, what's their other option? They install one of those, like, hand crank lifts that go up and down the staircase, and one person at a time can use it?
You know what? I agree with you, but also, if they can do it to my subway station, which is one of the older ones, Main Street, and make it fully ADA compliant, there's no reason why they can't do it once. There's really not. Like, this station opened in, like, the 40s, and it's fully ADA compliant. They even have bathrooms. Which, most stations that are accessible aren't fully ADA compliant because they don't have bathrooms. You need to have bathrooms for it to be fully ADA compliant, but...
you need to have bathrooms, or you need to have ADA compliant bathrooms?
No, I think you have to have... Well, if you have a bathroom, then there has to be...
Yeah, I think that's more to the point. And also, I mean, I would not ever, ever, ever use a bathroom in the subway.
The one at Hudson Yards at the other end of the station, because it's the newest, well, no longer the newest subway station, but it's the fourth newest one.
Oh, sure. The beautiful ones. Beautiful.
Yeah. But I mean, my point is, you can do it to the old ones, you can do it to the newer ones. And I know, like, I would love to see the process by which they pick the stations. I assume it's, you just go down the list of ridership, because the top 15 of them are accessible. You know,
I could also see there being a lot of class privilege at play here. So I could see them doing like the stations that are frequented more in affluent areas first.
Affluent areas pretend not to like subway stations. They have them, but they only have one, and it's like tucked away because they don't want it. They like that neighborhood. But to your point, like, the most popular subway station is Times Square, and, you know, it's Times Square. I mean, yes, it's a transfer hub for most people, but if you work there and live near there, you're all right. You don't have to worry about money, so.
Yeah, but also Times Square is one of the ones that's quote-unquote accessible. Unless...
But it is. I'm sorry, I'll let you finish. But, like, the problem with Times Square is it's completely accessible, but there's also, like, 20 elevators in the whole station, any one of which can break at any given time and thereby rendering you stuck, even though the station's
accessible. Exactly. Not to mention that traversing it is difficult in general. I mean, if we're going to talk about accessibility, you know, maybe start with better signage to the elevators?
Yeah. I mean, for all its credit, like... Apparently, from what I understand, this could be completely wrong, but a trusted source, a friend of mine told me this, but New York City apparently has, like, good signage, which I thought was hysterical because I would never say that in a million years, but that just makes me question, like, the signage everywhere else, you know? Because it's true, when you're looking for an elevator man, like, you gotta look for, like, the little wheelchair man, and then you gotta, like, go in that direction and then find it again, and it's like 500 yards down the path you came, and you start to wonder if you get lost, and it's like...
Yeah, and not to mention everything about the subway is anxiety-inducing, because I always wonder, you know, I know that I double-checked to make sure that I was going from one accessible station to another accessible station, but once I get on the subway... Oh my God, did I actually get on the right subway to go to the accessible station? Am I going to get stuck underground? Am I going to get to the station and the elevator is going to be broken and I'm going to be stuck there? Then I'm going to have to, you know, find a nice person to go upstairs because I'm not going to have any cell service depending on what the station is. And then they're going to have to call the fire department and then I'm going to be on the 5 o'clock news because I'm stuck.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, one of the things that the New York City subway station and the MTA did do was make sure that cell service gets through to every subway station. So you will be able to call your fire department. So
I've been in subway stations where there's not great cell service, though.
Where? It's there now.
I can't recall. I don't know.
When was the last time you were on the subway? Because it's there. It's brand new.
The last
new.
Time
it's
I was on a subway, I was using cell service, so...
But my point is also, like, if you can renovate the Columbus Circle station to be an underground mall, because they did that. Now, that station was already accessible, so... I give it a lot of credit, but if they can put an underground mall in the Columbus Circle subway station, complete with selfie tablets to take your picture in the Columbus Circle subway station, I don't want to hear about why you can't afford an elevator.
Clearly, I have not gone exploring.
I actually don't care what your stupid reason for not having money for the elevator is, because the Columbus Circle subway station negates all of it completely.
Well, you only know this because you used to work in that area. I think I've been on that subway maybe like 3 times in my life, and once was to come visit you at work.
I have to recommend that you check it out. It's a beautiful mall, but it's a mall in a subway station.
Yeah, that seems like a waste of money.
In fact, whoever paid for it paid so much money for it that they actually changed the color of the station. They're not green. Like, the staircase isn't green. It's orange. I didn't even know that you're allowed to do that, but they did. Anyway.
Well, no, sometimes you can change the staircases.
Can you?
Like advertising. You can put the advertisements
on. No, not the color of the stairs, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But yeah, so shutting down the entire subway station, subway system to make it all accessible is ridiculous, even for us. But the other suit that Emily brought up is, in my opinion, the more interesting one.
The one about making sure that elevators that do exist are not constantly in disrepair.
Yeah. Or, you know, I understand mechanical things break. Like, and I understand that with that many of them, it's just somewhere it's going to break all the time. And the ridership at certain stations is going to heavily weigh which ones break all the time. I fully understand that. Here's what I don't understand, though. I don't understand, therefore, why there isn't a place, a system somewhere in the MTA that doesn't text you immediately when an elevator gets reported broken, that doesn't update you, doesn't send you an email. Like, there is one, but there's always a 15-minute delay, and that's pathetic.
15 minutes is not even close to actual reality in some cases. Because my favorite thing is when you've made every effort to double check the website, get to your station, and then find out.
Well, and of course that doesn't protect from the unfortunate situation that it breaks when you get there. Like, that's no one's fault. That's fine. But the fact that there's a human being updating the website instead of a computer when an elevator breaks in New York City, one of the most wealthy cities in America, and probably if you were to list world economies and treat every state as separate countries, we'd probably also be in the top 10 along with California. There's no excuse whatsoever. That is pathetic.
You know what I'd like to see money spent on truly is a full team of on-call elevator repair people who will be easily reachable, not by some button that leads to some unknown telephone number when you push the emergency call button to say the elevator is broken, but actual people who can be contacted and be there. I would say, if we're talking the city, should be there within an hour.
Yeah, or in the outer boroughs, and maybe at two.
Maybe two.
But
that still throws a wrench in your plans. But there's absolutely no reason why elevators should be persistent in breaking down.
And check this out, you can get volunteers to help with that. You know, I mean, you probably need to be trained to be an elevator repairman. But in the event that hiring such an on-call elevator repair service is infeasible, you know, there's no reason why New York can't run a service where people can sign up to volunteer to be runners for firemen if they see somebody stuck in the station or something like that. You know what I mean? There's many, many avenues to success here.
Yeah. And on top of that, maybe enforce treating the elevators a little better somehow, because they are essentially places where homeless people go to the bathroom and where people throw all their garbage and where there's mysterious substances on the wall. And look, I'm not saying that I think that the way that New York City police treat homeless people is acceptable. And I think it would be great if homeless people could just go into somewhere and use their bathroom and not have to resort to peeing in an elevator. But that said, that's still something that I'm rolling my wheels in.
I don't think that's unreasonable, and I challenge anyone who thinks it is to, do it, because...
ew, and I don't even touch my wheels because I'm using a power chair. My friends, just the other day on Twitter, we were talking with someone who was mentioning that when she rolls around the city every time she gets into an elevator, you know, she might as well take up stock in Clorox wipes because that's how much she's touched urine. And I know all of this sounds like a giant bitch session, but the reality is the transportation sucks. It is so hard to use public transportation.
And you know what the funny thing is? Everyone thinks that. That is not the opinion of the disabled community in New York City. Nobody is happy with the state of the subway system. And you would be, maybe you wouldn't, maybe you're cynical like we are, but like you would be shocked to see that so many people are unhappy and yet still absolutely nothing gets done. You know, if only the people that like cleaned up after New Year's Eve in Manhattan could also fix elevators. Like, you know, and that's the other thing. Like when you see how quickly things can get done when people want them done, like when you have a giant parade that's, you know, literally disrupting traffic and making people not be able to go to work and stuff, you know, at like after Thanksgiving, after New Year's, after whatever, we love parades here. That is cleaned up within 24 hours. You would never even know there was a parade. Now, I know that, sorry, you were about to say something. I know that cleaning up confetti is a lot less complicated than repairing an elevator. I understand that. But you, if you can have the manpower to do one, you can have the manpower to do another.
Because it's New York City has us literally by the throats. Because, you know, a parade is like a fun touristy thing for them. The subway is something that millions of New York City residents, why did I say millions? Millions.
It is millions.
Yeah.
That's why.
Of New York City.
It's even more in the, it's 4 million more when they commute.
Yeah, and plus tourists. So yeah. It's something that everybody relies on when you come to New York City at one point or another to get around. And so New York City knows that even if people are going to complain, people are not going to suddenly stop using it.
Well, they can't. You know, and yes, we know the buses are accessible. God bless the buses. And yes, we know that there is a certain pathetic percentage of cabs that are accessible. And yes, we know that we can summon them remotely. But that doesn't work either.
Buses are an interesting thing because I find them to be less direct if you're trying to go crosstown, obviously. And again, I know that, you know, we're talking about New York City things that someone in like Seattle is not necessarily going to relate to. But on the whole, and I think this is something that most people can relate to if they live in an area where there are buses for public transit. The problem with the buses is sometimes if the driver is a real jerk, getting them to stop for you if you're a wheelchair user, or sometimes they'll stop and be like, oh yeah, there are already two wheelchairs on here and we can't take you. So
well, that's not
every wheelchair user starts using the buses religiously, the buses are going to be impossible to use.
Well, you know, in that case, Emily, I think we just did ourselves a disservice by saying that. For anyone
No,
who
because
doesn't.
Everybody's going to stick to their preferred mode of transportation.
I know. But you know what? When I understand when there's two, and on the bigger buses, four, because there's two buses stuck together. Wheelchair users on a bus, I understand that it literally makes it impossible. We're not actually knocking you for that. But when you're that jerk bus driver who just doesn't feel like pressing the ramp button because the 2 pounds of pressure you need to push that button is just too much for your thumb that day, I don't care. I don't.
Yeah. And okay, so I'm just thinking now as we've spent like 25 minutes ranting about the problematic New York City public transportation system. In light of all that, I still find myself feeling like I should be somewhat grateful that it at least exists because I know that so many people who live in more rural areas don't have any access to this type of public transit.
Oh, sure. And you know, we should be grateful for it. A broken system is better than no system. It just is, because no system means that you are stranded. A broken system means you might be stranded. That's all there is to it. But, you know, I don't think it's that much to ask that our system work better. I really don't. The MTA really should be more like WMATA. The Washington Metro. I don't care
Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah, I don't. But, you know, and that's pathetic to say because it's like 10 times smaller and 5 times fewer people. But, I mean, you know, it looks like New York, like, built this amazing thing 100 and some odd years ago and then just kept doing it that way. Instead of, like, improving upon it at all.
See, and then I say that the D.C. Metro is, for the most part, a dream with how easy it is to ride. But you ask anybody who lives in D.C., and they will have nothing but terrible things to say about it.
Well, to be fair, though, the D.C. infrastructure there is terrible, too. The Red Line literally catches fire, I think, something like twice a week, technically. Like, that's ridiculous. But you can get on it. You see the train? So you might die in a fire, but you can get on the train.
Yeah, you can access that fire.
Yes.
But the other thing, too, and this is what really gets me, is at least all of the metro stations are wheelchair accessible. I think it's all of them, right?
No, it is all of them, and even when they break, because they immediately send out shuttle buses.
The shuttle bus experience.
I have. They're awful, but they're there. They're genuinely awful because every wheelchair user who lives in DC, like, flocks them because they have to. But that's not the fault of the bus, really, you know?
All I know is that we likely want what we can't have, and so while I wish that I had the DC Metro in New York City, I am also aware that I should be grateful for what we do have. But in spite of being grateful, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting the accessibility features that do exist to be taken better care of. And I think that is the lawsuit that should gain the most traction. I think it's the one that's the most reasonable.
I agree. And I'm not going to say this to put a damper on your parade, but, you know, the train station I take every day, the 7 line, has been being renovated for the past 3 years. And this is for features that are, I don't mean to say this, but they're more important than accessibility because, you know, the major stations on the subway, on the 7 train are accessible. The minor ones aren't, and that is a problem. But if you're going somewhere on the 7, you're probably going to get off at an accessible stop. Things like being able to tell when the train's coming. Way more important than accessibility.
argue no.
Really? You would? Why?
Because when the train comes, you just get on the train.
Yeah, but being able to know when it's coming and being able to know of delays immediately. That's a lot, you know.
I think that is something that is not mutually exclusive with accessibility.
I agree, but since the vast majority of New Yorkers don't have a disability and don't need accessibility in terms of a priority, it's not more important
until
to me.
Until they do.
That's with everything.
Until someone breaks their leg, until someone's MS progresses, you know.
Yeah, but no one wants to. That's the reason the world's unaccessible, Emily, because no one wants to think that they'll ever become disabled.
Of course not. Like, I think that they can be working on structural improvements and system changes while also working on accessibility. And I think that accessibility needs to not be this constant, like, separate entity that just galls me. Let's fix everything else. Also, let's make it accessible.
I want to know. I really genuinely want to know the thought process to why they don't. I know it's money. I know it's expensive. I understand. But again, New York City, we're rich here, you know? New York City is a wealthy place. If we don't have the money, there's not enough. And there's never not enough because we can do things like host a giant party at the end of every year that costs more than I'll ever have in my life. It's just, there's no excuse. There's none. But I want to know that if you had a reason that wasn't money, like, what's the next reason? Is it that too many tourists, like, use the elevator at once and therefore they break more often because they exceed the weight capacity too much? Is it the homeless problem you mentioned earlier? Like, what is it? Because every single one of those, I think, could be mitigated in a way that doesn't impede your life in a negative way such that you wouldn't be able to use the train. I really believe that.
First, it's got to be monetary, but I think in regard to that, that really shows where prioritization is. So, like, they just made this whole effort to offer free Wi-Fi around the city, and arguably internet connectivity for free is a really great thing, especially for people who are homeless or who may not have the money for a cell phone plan with all this data. So I get that that's an amazing way to spend your money, but it just seems that the more you think about it, the further down the totem pole disability gets.
I would say that that's more important than freedom of information is more important than physical access, because at least you can access it. If you have freedom of information, you can access it from places that you can access.
Well, I would say that free Wi-Fi is also one of those things that literally could benefit anyone, disability or not.
Yeah, well, I don't want the New York City government spying on me. Use your VPNs, kids. They're good for you. But still, free Wi-Fi
is
cool.
What am I going to look up on public Wi-Fi? I mean, I know that.
Why don't you have glass walls at your house? What are you doing that you don't want people to see? Anything. Anything. You wouldn't change with the shades drawn. Wait, drawn means up or down. I don't know. I meant, like, visible to other people.
I know what you mean. Yeah, although I have accidentally done that several times.
Yeah, but okay, we all have. But I mean, it's nothing you want to do unless you're into
no,
that.
No, I know what you mean. Okay, if I'm like checking Facebook or Twitter or whatever, sure, I don't want them reading my information. But like on the whole, if they're going to read my information, fine. If I have no money to afford Wi-Fi in any other capacity,
yeah, exactly. Fine. That's your trade, right? You're the product and they advertise to you and blah, blah, blah. But I wonder, again, that's another thing that I wonder that's probably never going to be publicly accessible, is where disability in terms of the city budget actually lies. I can't imagine it's actually at the bottom. You know, scraping gum off the sidewalk's probably at the bottom, you know? But I also can't imagine that it's anywhere practical enough to get done in a timely manner that will affect our lives.
I mean, the city has yet to even accomplish things like carving out curb cuts on all of the city blocks. And quite frankly,
that's even more pathetic.
Yeah, that takes, what, maybe...
Two guys and a jackhammer?
Yeah. An hour or so per. You could have that done in a month.
You could have that done in a week when there's only one jackhammer in the city.
But yeah, so that, you know something? It's like we're sitting here and filing class action lawsuits, and I don't mean we had anything to do with it, but you know, these lawyers are filing this class action lawsuit about the public transportation system, and I still struggle to be a pedestrian in the city.
To be fair, and I should have probably said to be honest, I think that would have been a much better suit. Like, everyone knows that the subway sucks, but like, I don't really think people are conscious at all about how much the streets suck. I know I'm not. Especially because most streets do have curb cuts. That's one of the things that you don't really realize isn't there until you're faced with it. And if I think that, I bet you your average able-bodied person does.
You know, in the more touristy parts of the city, like Midtown, the curb cuts are not great, but they exist. The further uptown or downtown you get, that's where the curb cuts become iffy. And I just think that it's so silly that we're trying to get an entire transportation infrastructure changed when we can't even get people to smooth out the curbs. Come on!
There's that, you know what, you said Midtown, but actually, if you go on, this is a little inside baseball to anyone who doesn't live in New York City, but just for fun for you, if you go to Vanderbilt Street, right outside of Grand Central Station, which totally is not a major transportation hub at all, there's no curb cuts on Vanderbilt Street. That's
you know,
right in the heart of Midtown.
I was actually right over there during the Women's March, and you're right.
Yeah, it's like the worst street in the city, like honestly. Because it's like beautiful.
Okay, every street is the worst street in the city. But honestly, I don't know why I didn't say earlier on than like most of the way through our recording that, you know, we should have tackled the curb cuts first. Because the more I think about it, the more I feel like my blood pressure rising.
Get to your subway elevator if you can't get down your street. Can we just talk about elevators for a second? Because we actually touched on this in our pre-chat and we were like talking about how much elevators are actually like really stupid. And there really ought to be something better by now in the history of elevators.
I cannot think of something else, though.
I know, but I mean, really, like, it was a joke, but we were saying, like, it really ought to be something better than a hole in the wall with a pulley on it, like...
You think?
I do. If Japan can make a train that is 200 miles an hour with magnets and shit, doesn't even touch the tracks to get rid of all the friction, you're gonna tell me that elevators are the greatest way to ascend a building? I don't think so.
You know, as much as I can be like, oh, I'm not a city planner, but I can't tell people how to do their jobs, but I feel like I at least can logically talk about it, I am in no way an engineer and can't even begin to come up with a better solution to elevators, other than maybe like stop having stairs. But since that's not happening ever until the world explodes and then stairs just stop existing on account of the world doesn't exist, I ain't got no solution.
Like, you don't have to get rid of them. Just make them better.
Although, the more I think about it, the more I feel like there's got to be some genius, like, MIT student or something who's already figured out how to surpass stairs and has, like, evolved to a different level. And we just don't know about it yet.
The point is, I think, through all this, that this is... I'm cautiously optimistic to see where these lawsuits go. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. Truth be told, I think this is more of a publicity stunt for the people that sued the city so that people know who they are and see that they're doing, you know, important work, quote unquote. But I do think that the way the MTA handles this is going to be the real tell for accessibility to come in the city. Because, you know, if they just completely throw it out on the grounds of it being impossible, that tells me that that access is nowhere near the top of the priority list. You know what I mean? Whereas if they issue a statement with a plan or like anything other than completely getting rid of it, at least, at the very least, you know they think about it, even if we don't see it.
On the whole, I'm also pretty skeptical of these lawsuits, but I'm not skeptical because I don't think that they have extremely good intent and that they're extremely important. I'm skeptical because of the people who are on the receiving end of the lawsuits. I think that this is a great example of advocates and activists putting your money where your mouth is. And if you don't like something, you do something about it. And I mean, what's a stronger way to send a message than slapping someone with a well thought out lawsuit? But at the same time, you know, all the well thought out lawsuits in the world, are they going to change a structure that's bigger than any one person?
Is it going to do more than just waste New York City's money?
Yeah, because the other way this could go is that the city could end up devoting tons of money to firing back. And rather than solving the problems, they'll try to come to some kind of settlement agreement, or they'll
which, you know, they'll take, because...
But who are you settling with, you know? You can't really make a settlement with this lawsuit. I don't think anyone who's in this lawsuit...
Well, it's a class action, so settlement's not really going to work that way. Yeah. But I mean, okay.
I'm not a lawyer or a city planner or a civil engineer or
we're actually the worst people to talk about any of this. No,
but no, you know what we are? We're disabled people. So I feel like our opinions kind of matter.
I mean, in terms of being plaintiffs, but we're not.
And New York residents? We're not plaintiffs. We're not anything. We're two people who have an opinion on a thing that made news. That's perfectly okay.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, New York City sucks. Everyone living here, disabled or not, thinks that. But we also pretend it's the greatest city in the world, because it totally is.
It's actually really awesome. I just really hate it, but it's awesome. Well,
but that's the thing. It's so good that the parts that you hate relative to how good it is so bad, because the rest of it is that good that you can't imagine something so good having parts that are that bad. Like, at least that's what it is for me.
When I take the very nice and clean elevator up to the High Line, which is a park on old train tracks, incidentally.
In the sky.
In the sky, literally a sky park. It is a High Line.
You're going to tell me that they could build a park in the sky with four elevators, but you can't make a train accessible?
And I'm literally, like, enjoying walking above the city, rolling above the city, whatever. And I think how amazing that is, and so much of the city still sucks. So, be that as it may.
You know what you got to do? You got to build Whole Foods around everywhere that has an inaccessible subway station.
Why?
Because then the rich folk will go there, and then all of a sudden, magically.
Oh, that, exactly. So what we really need is crippled gentrification.
Yep. Boy, you're going to get a lot of hate for that. Oh, no, you said the G word. You said the G word that's not actually bad, but people think it's bad because of what it implies. I said
the G word after the C word. Oh, boy. Oh, no.
No.
Come at me, hate tweeters.
Nah, it's all good. I got your back.
Thanks.
You're
welcome.
Appreciate it. Any final takeaways about New York and how awful it is?
Yeah, you guys, Kyle bought me this really cool shirt today.
We're going to put a picture of it in the thing.
And so New York is not all bad because Kyle lives in it, so.
I would say the same, but you actually don't live in the city.
I still live in New York.
Metro area.
And technicality. But he got me a really cool shirt, you guys. New York City is terrible. Kyle is great. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.